यशोमति नन्दन व्रजवरण
So, Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to be back again to your Sangha on this very, very auspicious day of Narsingha Chaturdasi. And my most, most humble pranam to all the devotees there at ISKCON Montreal. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindaki jai jagadguru srila prabhupada ki jai iskon vartaman guru vrindaki jai Hare Krishna. Today is the very auspicious Narsimha Chaturdashi. It is said in the scriptures that on the day of these Punyatithis, if we fast, if we serve, render some service or hear katha, it's the most beneficial. I had read somewhere that a story from some Purana, how there was one very sinful lady who happened to attend a festival in some temple, and just because she had rendered a little service and heard a little katha, in spite of all the sinful activities that she had committed whole her life, at the end of the life, a plane came from Vaikuntha and took her, and she was surprised. And she says, what pious deed did I do? And they said, on the very, very auspicious festival tithi, you rendered service in a Vishnu temple and you heard Hari katha. So hearing Harikatha, rendering service, like we hear in the Vaishnav bhajans, says, Madhavati thi bhakati janani jatane palanakari. All this tithi, this Ekadashi tithi, Narsingha Chaturdasi, all these festival tithis are bhakati janani jatane palanakari. One should take care and follow it so nicely because they are giver of bhakti. So today on this very, very auspicious occasion, keeping all this in mind, the coming 1 hour, we will meditate and discuss on Harikatha. So that traditionally it would be right to speak about the appearance of Lord Narsingha Dev, since this is what we are celebrating today. But we'll do something different. Instead of speaking Narsingha Katha, we will speak today about somebody who is very, very special to Narsingha Dev. Because Narsimha Katha we are always hearing. It's so popular in, especially in our ISKCON community, right from a toddler to an old man, everybody's favorite is Narsimha Katha. Every drama festival will have Narsimha Katha. The children are spoken of Narsimha Katha. And Jagai Madhai and Hiranyakashipu's Vadha, and all these are certain favorite, you know, where drama festivals also we keep hearing and seeing this. But today we will do something that will please Narsimha Dev. Because when we speak about Lord, the devotee becomes very happy. And when we speak about a devotee, then Lord becomes very happy. And today being the appearance day of the Lord, we will make Lord very happy by discussing about his devotee, Prahlad. Because what is so special about Prahlad? How did he attract Narsingha Dev? How this 5-year-old boy could make the Supreme Lord appear? So what are those qualities in him which attract the Lord so much that he came himself? So today we will contemplate and meditate and discuss on this. What are those beautiful, beautiful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj and that attracts the Lord so much? And the second part of it is, how do we get those qualities? How will we try and acquire those qualities so that we can also attract our sweet Lord's attention towards us? So to discuss this, the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, I thought we will start or discuss with an acronym so that it is easy for us to remember. Prahlad, Prahlad. And with every letter, we'll discuss a quality of Prahlad Maharaj. So the first P, what is that quality in Prahlad Maharaj that Lord is so attracted to him? So the first quality with P, we can say, is purity. Prahlad Maharaj was so pure. His love for the Lord was so pure, so selfless. As we read the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where so many chapters are dedicated to this whole pastime, we see that Prahlad Maharaj's love for the Lord was so pure. It did not have it was not tainted, or there was no material desire associated with that love. We also love Lord, but when we love Lord, somewhere in our heart, there is a certain expectation. I love the Lord, the Lord will love me back. I love Lord, Lord will give me protection. Lord will bless me. Lord will take care of my family. Or at least, if nothing, I'll have the opportunity to see the Lord or go back to Goloka or whatever. There's some other material, spiritual desire. But if we see with Prahlad Maharaj, he had no such desire. He simply loved the Lord. This is a symptom of a pure devotee. Selfless love. We see the same love in the gopis. They had such selfless love for the Lord. When Narad Muni asked the gopis that the Lord is having a headache, can you give the dust of your feet? And the gopis were more than ever eager to give the dust of their feet. And when Narad Muni went on to explain that this is dangerous, you will have to perpetually stay in hell for doing this. And they said, if our staying eternally in hell will relieve Krishna from his headache for a few moments, then we are fine with it. So such is the love of the pure devotees. Their whole purpose is to please the Lord. Today when we hear that, we feel it very simple. Okay, Lord has headache, and the gopis were asked and they gave the dust. So what's the big thing? But this is something like, today if I have a headache and I ask you, can you give me a kidney? You'll say, are you out of your mind? Why should I give my kidney? But I'm having a pain, and you give me your kidney, it will be helpful. You may say, all right, but tolerate. I can't give my kidney for that. So what actually Narad Muni was asking was something like that, that magnitude, that you give your dust of your feet to the Lord and you stay in the hell. So who would want to do that? But the gopis did it. We also love the Lord, we also serve the Lord, but let's say 80% of our desire is that Lord should be happy. Somewhere 20% of our desire will be our comfort zone, our sense gratification, some kind of a written expectation, but the gopis has no such expectation. If we see in the case of Arjun, when Arjun and Duryodhan, they went to the Lord, and then Lord asked, what you want? Duryodhan asked for Narayani Sena and Arjun asked for the Lord. When we hear it, it sounds very simple. Yeah, okay, he loves the Lord, he asked the Lord, he asked Narayani Sena. But, and we are very clear about it, that who is right and who is wrong. So if we are put into that position, we may say, no, even I may ask for Krishna. But actually we are put into that position every single day. What position Arjun and Duryodhan were put in those days, that we want Krishna. Do we want Krishna, or we want Krishna's opulence? If somewhere deep in our heart we meditate, what we want, when we stand in front of the Lord, we are asking that, Krishna, I want your blessings, I want your compassion, I want your protection. So do we want Krishna's blessings, Krishna's compassions, Krishna's protection, or do we want Krishna? There's a difference. So we're asking things from Krishna, but we're not asking for Krishna, right? But these elevated devotees, they're all pure devotees. So they are on that level where they don't want anything from the Lord. They don't want anything from the Lord. They want to give to the Lord. Like we see in the case of Sudama. He didn't have nothing. Tattered clothes. But he wanted to give to the Lord. The whole mentality is, how can I give the Lord? So somehow he collected those puff fries and he gave it to the Lord. So the pure devotee's heart, they want to give Lord. They want to serve Lord. They don't want anything from the Lord. So that is the love of Prahlad Maharaj. What's the proof? We see after this whole pastime is culminated, Narasimha Dev comes and then he kills Hiranyakashipu. And then he very lovingly asks Prahlad that, what do you want? And Prahlad says, my Lord, I'm not a businessman. I haven't made a business transaction with you that I love you and then you give me something in return. I don't want anything. And then when Narasimha Dev insists, ask something you ask. Then he says, okay, I want that I should never want anything. I want that I should never want. I should never have any material desires. Whatever the little tinge of desire left in my heart, please take it away, my Lord. That is what I want. So such was the pure love of these devotees. Whether we see Arjun, we see Sudama, we see gopis, or we see Prahlad Maharaj, their love is on such a high level. I'm reminded of the story which I heard in my childhood of this one king who was celebrating his birthday. So he said, on this day I'm so happy, I open the gates of my palace, come in and whatever you touch will be yours. So people start running the moment the palace gates are open, and somebody's running to the treasure, somebody's running to jewels. But this one man goes and touches the king. And then he tells everybody else, stop. They said, what happened? Then he said, look, do you all believe everything that is there in this palace belongs to the king? And they said, yes. And he says, but now I have touched the king. So the king belongs to me. And as a result, whatever is there in the palace belongs to me. And I don't allow anybody of you to touch. So you kindly leave the palace. Now everything belongs to me. So the devotees of the Lord, they have Lord with them. As a result, everything is with them. But it's not that they worship the Lord with that intention. It just happens naturally. But they don't want anything except the Lord. I remember once hearing Mahavishnu Maharaj's class. I think so. It was his class. And he was very funnily telling that once Lord was in a good mood and the Lord was sitting and giving benedictions to everybody. So everybody had formed a line. And everybody was coming one by one and asking for something. Oh my Lord, I want a beautiful wife. Okay, done. I want car. Okay, done. I want this. Okay, done. And then one man comes and says, but I want you. And the Lord says, oh, you want me? Okay, come on this side, stand. And then he continues, yeah, next. Yeah, what you want? Yeah, next, what you want? So now this man who's standing, after some time he asked the Lord, they're asking for materialistic things. And you're giving them quick, 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 quick. And when I ask you, that give me, I just want you, then you ask me to wait. What does that mean? So the Lord says, well, it's pretty easy for me. When I just ask material things, I just give them. The process is very quick. But what you asked that you wanted me. So now I have to scrutinize you properly because I have to know whose servant I'm going to become. The fact that you ask me, now I become your servant. I sell myself to you. So I just want to know who is that person whom I have to be with now. So I'm going to check you out. So Maya is going to give you a couple of more tests, because you're asking something so high. So the pure devotees of the Lord, they don't want anything from the Lord. They want the Lord himself. So Lord is attracted by this quality. So P for purity. Lord is so attracted by this pure, selfless love of Prahlad Maharaj. Now how do we get that love? When we hear that, it sounds so lofty. Is it possible someday that we come on that level where we don't want anything from the Lord? Such pure, unconditional, selfless love. Well, the scriptures, they not only show us the stars, they also show us the stairs, They not only show us the stars, they show us the staircase, how to go to those stars. We see these qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, they are like stars. We feel maybe we can never touch them, we can never get them. They're so lofty, so high. But the scriptures also show us that yes, to go there, there is a staircase. You can take one step at a time, and slowly we can also come to that level. So one at a time. Sometimes we may feel overwhelmed. Is it possible? How can it be possible? But the simple trick is, we don't look at the whole staircase. We just look at one step at a time. Just like when people do this cycling in the hills, you know, in the mountain. If they do it in the daytime, they feel it's almost impossible, because the hill looks so huge and they feel I can't reach, and they just give it up. But when they do it in the night time, because they can't see, you know, how tall the hill is, they just push themselves and they just push themselves, and little by little they almost end up reaching. So similarly, when we just look at like, oh, maybe unconditional, selfless, pure love, it's not possible. So no, we can start doing it a little by little, one step at a time. Even if we start serving the devotees selflessly, we may slowly develop that, tendency. Like, for example, we can do a small exercise, do some service for a devotee without any expectation, or do some really wonderful service and don't take credit. And we can try doing that, you know, slowly, slowly, try giving up without any expectation. Of course, it's so difficult. Imagine you write an article and then you just give it on somebody else's name. Now, every time people are praising him, we will burn from inside. People are praising him, but that's my thought process. That actually, they're my words. It's so difficult. Forget about big things. Even small things in our life, we're so eager to take credit. It's so difficult to work without credit. Credit is only the only stimuli actually we have. You know, and for everything we need some kind of an appreciation and some kind of a credit. But anyway, it's all different levels, nothing wrong. But yes, we can try slowly, slowly, try and, you know, give up on expectations and credit and try to do something selflessly for our community, of our devotees around us, or somebody in our family, or our family members, or our temple community. And like that, slowly, slowly, we develop that attitude. And one day, maybe, yes, we can actually render selfless service towards Lord. Sometimes devotees may say it is actually easy to render selfless service to Lord, but not easy to render selfless service to devotee. Now, why it is, I tell you the secret. Because when we are rendering service to the Lord, somewhere deep inside our heart, we know that I'm not expecting anything from the Lord, but I know Lord will give. I know Lord has taken note of it. I know Lord is going to give it back in some or the other way. He can never be unjust. So that kind of somewhere in the background, that desire is there. So we are very easily able to work. But when it comes to selflessly do something for the devotee, we are not sure. We just want some recognition or some acknowledgement or some reciprocation. But if slowly we start doing this exercise, then one day we can develop this mood. On the gross level, developing purity is to follow the four rules and regulation properly and to reject that which is not pure. If the mind accepts what is impure as impure, then the mind will become pure. That means if the mind is ready to discriminate, if mind is ready to accept this is impure and this is pure, if the mind accepts, then it is very easy. But the problem with our mind is the mind argues with us. When we say this is impure, no, itna to chalta hai. Oh, this is okay. This is all right. This we can do. This is once in a while we can indulge. See, so the mind is not convinced that this is impure. The day the mind is convinced that this thing is impure, when the mind accepts the impure as impure, then the mind will become pure. So one level of, you know, getting this quality of purity is on the externals also be very careful in what activities we are performing by our mind, body, words, thoughts. There should be purity on all levels. And we reject that which is impure. Jiva Goswami says in his Bhakti Sandarbha that for pure devotees of the Lord, rejecting the impure and accepting the pure happens very organically because of Preeti, because they love the Lord. But in sadhakas like us, it doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen because of Preeti, because we don't have spontaneous love for the Lord. So it will happen by buddhi, that is by intelligence. By intelligence, we can discriminate. This is pure and this is impure. I don't want to indulge in that which is impure. And how to increase that intelligence is by reading scriptures. So when we read scriptures and when we associate with devotees and we make our intelligence sharp, then by our intelligence we can discriminate, we can reject the impure and we can accept the pure. So this beautiful quality of purity in Prahlad Maharaj, which the Lord is very much attracted, we can also get in our lives by following the four rules and regulations, by reading the scriptures, and by doing this little exercise where we can start giving up credit and trying to render unconditional selfless service to the devotees. This is one thing. The second quality which we can continue with P, apart from purity, is patience. What the Lord is so attracted by Prahlad Maharaj is his quality of patience, so much patience. He was tortured and by Hiranyakashipu in so many ways, tried to trample him with the elephants, put him in a room with full of snakes, tried to push him from a hill, make him drink poisonous liquid, tried to burn him by fire. They did all sorts of things, but Prahlad was so full of patience, and this quality of Prahlad is so attractive. Never once he was like, enough is enough, I already tolerated so much, I can't tolerate anymore, now it's enough, I'm going to, oh my Lord, are you seeing, I'm just remembering you, and this is the situation you put me into. Is so much patience. Even if we just joined ISKCON and maybe just couple of years, and we already have so many expectations from the Lord. I've been chanting 16 rounds for the last 5 years, like 10 years, and this is how you protect me. You're not protecting my family from COVID. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. We have so many expectations. The pure devotees of the Lord, they have patience. Those who have patience, those who have enthusiasm, they are in sattva. They have enthusiasm to render service. At the same time, they have patience. Even if they are rewarded, they are not rewarded, they are not acknowledged by the Lord, that's okay. They will keep having enthusiasm and they will continue. Some people, they have lot of enthusiasm but no patience. They have so much enthusiasm. I want to do this service, that service, but they want result immediately. Result immediately, tomorrow, everything should be done. Then that is in the mode of passion. Those who have patience and enthusiasm are in the mode of goodness. And there are some people who have lots of patience but no enthusiasm. They'll not do anything. They'll be only full of patience. What's the hurry? I'm permanent. Lord is permanent. Goloka Vrindavan is permanent. Someday I'll go. Nothing to worry. There is no hurry. What's the problem? Today if 16 rounds is not done, tomorrow we'll do it. Patience. Let's have patience. That is tamasic patience in ignorance. So there is patience with enthusiasm, patience without enthusiasm, only enthusiasm, no patience. But those who are the pure devotees of the Lord, they have patience, they have enthusiasm, and they have faith on Lord. Complete faith on Lord. Whatever is happening in my life, Lord is my well-wisher. Lord has a plan for it. And they patiently and enthusiastically continue their devotional life. And that Lord is attracted. Like we see in Prahlad Maharaj's case, so much patience, I remember when I was young, sometimes me and my sister, we fight over some things. You know, and my mother used to tell this beautiful story, you know, to calm us up. She used to tell the story of this one Brahmana somewhere in Haridwar, and he was taking bath in Ganges, and then he comes out, and when he comes out, then there was one notorious man sitting there on the bank of Ganges, and as soon as this man comes out, he spits on him. So this man, he doesn't react, he goes back and, you know, takes another dip and comes back. Second time again he spits. This man does not react, he goes back, takes a dip and comes back. It happens 99 times. Now the 100th time, when this man takes a dip and comes back. Now up there in Vaikuntha, Lord is watching. So the Lord is taking prasad. So suddenly he gets up and he says, where is my Sudarshan Chakra and where is Garuda? I need to go. So Lakshmi Devi said, what happened? Take prasad. He said, no, I'm take your, no, I have to go immediately. And then within 2 minutes, Lord goes and comes back and sits. So Lakshmi Devi says, what happened just now? You were jumping, you wanted to go down, what happened? He says, no, it's all right, it's taken care of. And he said, what is taken care of? Please tell me. He said, no, my devotee, 99 times he went, you know, took bath and came, and this man was spitting. So I thought, if he does this one more time, I'm going to kill him. But this time, when my devotee, you know, came out after taking bath, he got so upset, he slapped this man. So anyway, whatever he's supposed to do, he did it. So now my intervention is not required. So my mother, you know, say, it's some kind of a, what do you say, anecdote, like some kind of a story to explain children, you know. I don't know if it's from any Puran or it's authentic. My mother used to explain, look, so similarly, if somebody does something to you, if you react back, then it's over. It's balanced, you know, like a credit, debit, balance sheet is balanced. But if you tolerate, then that person will get a bigger punishment from the Lord, you know. See, this man simply slapped. But if the Lord would have punished, Lord would have cut his throat with Sudarshan Chakra. So then as children, you know, we used to say, okay. So if anybody does anything to us, now we used to think in our mind, it's okay. Lord's going to punish him bigger. I'll not react. But that's also very low level of thinking, very low thinking, wherein you think, okay, I won't react, but Lord will definitely give him some punishment. But the pure devotees of the Lord, they're not on that level. They don't even think like that Lord will punish him. They don't want to punish. Like we see in the case of Ambarish Maharaj, in the 9th canto, we see this pastime, where Ambarish Maharaj does not think in his mind, you know, Durvasa Muni did this to me, oh Lord is going to definitely, you know, give him a lesson. In fact, he says to the Sudarshan Chakra, I'm ready to give the fruits of all the pious activity that I've performed so far. Please take it and please relieve Durvasa Muni. Please, you know, protect him. Please relieve him from this heat. What an amazing devotee. So that the pure devotees are on that level, you know, so much patience, so much faith they have on the Lord. See, that is why you see, you know, one of my favorite sloka, I think I end up quoting it in every class, Brahma Stuti from the 10th canto, chapter 14, verse number 8. Brahma says, how the devotees of the Lord are. He says, Tatte nu kampa su samikshamano bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam hridvag vapubhi vidhadhan namaste jiveti yo mukti pade sadai bhag. The devotees of the Lord, they just tolerate whatever happens in their life. They just take it as, this is my previous life karma and I have to tolerate it. And while tolerating, they wait patiently for the mercy of the Lord. And patiently waiting means they are not lazy. Hrit vag vapu bhir. With their heart, with their words, with their body, they are paying obeisances to the Lord. And Brahma says that such kind of devotees, jivete yo mukti pade sadai bhag, they will inherit, just like a son inherits the property of the father. The son does not have to do anything separately. You know, it is a natural thing, it will happen. After the death of the father, the property goes to the son. Similarly, this kind of devotees who have lived their whole life in this consciousness, definitely after leaving this body, they are directly going back to the Supreme Lord. So such is the quality of a Vaishnava. So full of patience and tolerance. And we see that Prahlad Maharaj practically showed it. He was put in so many different situations, so many reversals. There's another verse from the Vishnu Sahasranam, wherein they talk about the qualities of the devotee. Na krodho na cha matsariyo, na lobho na ashubmati, bhavanti krita punyanam, bhaktanam purushottamam, bhaktanam purushottamam. Said, na krodho na cha matsaryam, devotee of the Lord, na krodho, no anger, na cha matsaryam, no enviousness, na lobho, no greed, na ashubmati, they don't think bad about anybody. Oh, this person should get, you know, this how he behave with me, and definitely Lord is going to, no ashubmati. Yeah. It says, bhavanti krita punyanam, bhaktanam purushottama. That is a symptom of a devotee of Purushottam. So kind to all, full of virtuous deeds, and has no anarthas. So we see that, you know, in Prahlad Maharaj, so full of patience. No matter whatever happening with him, you know, he has not, he's not wavered from his consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So this quality is so attractive to the Lord. How do we develop that quality? If reversals come in our life, if certain situations appear in our life like that, how do we get this quality? So what we can do is, whenever we are put into a certain situation, there are three things by which we can come out. Either we tolerate the situation, or we mitigate the situation, or we immigrate. For example, let's say you are in Kashmir, in India, Kashmir, so cold, pretty cold. Now you're feeling cold. Oh, it's very cold, what to do? So now there is one thing. Either you tolerate. Oh, it's, I mean, I consciously selected to come on a vacation to Kashmir, and everybody knows Kashmir is cold. You know, so many hills, and yeah, it's pretty cold here. It's going to be cold, so you tolerate. You know that. Or you mitigate. Oh, it's cold. Let me take a sweater. Let me take a shawl. Or you immigrate. Oh, it's cold here. I don't like it. Let me go. Let me go to South India. It's not cold there. This is how we manage every situation. Like we see in Srila Prabhupada's life. He tolerated. He had to keep his fruits and his bhoga along with the non-veg items in the fridge of Gopal Agarwal and Sali Agarwal. He tolerated. Certain situations, he mitigated. He fought. Like we see when the Bombay Juhu land property, he had to fight with Mr. N. Prabhupada fought tooth and nail, and he won. Or in certain situations, we see Prabhupada immigrated. When he saw in India, nobody was, you know, the Indians were not so serious and they were not following his teachings. So then he just left for America and he started preaching there. So devotees also can use this three-tier formula to come out of any situation. But then in Prabhupada also, you see that he doesn't have the animosity feeling. When Mr. N died, Mr. N's wife was pursuing the case. And after some time, she gave up. She saw that, you know, there's no use now. Prabhupada is going to win it. Then she just paid obeisances and she said, sorry, Swamiji. And Prabhupada immediately accepted and said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. You are like my daughter. This is something amazing. Somebody gives you so much trouble. And the very next moment, because Prabhupada was not fighting with Mr. N. Prabhupada was fighting for Krishna. So for his... The whole point is not about getting even with people. The whole point is about how to get out from here. And Prabhupada is so clear about it. Okay, what do I have to do with her? I got the land, I'm done. And he immediately forgive her. So the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees of the Lord, have this quality. Patience. So we understood P for purity. And the other thing is P for patience. The other tip to get this quality in our life is, if we keep small things small and we don't make small things big, then we can develop this tolerate the quality of tolerance. Sometimes what we do is, see, there are so many battles in our life, but we don't have to fight every battle. We have to be picky about which battle we are going to fight, right? For example, if especially in India, there are lots of crowded trains. In a train compartment, in a train bogie where there can be 50 people, they accommodate 200 people. And sometimes there's so much pushing and pulling and all. Now imagine if somebody's pulling you or somebody's pushing you. How do you react? Now one way to react is keep the small things small. Okay, forget about it. I just have to stay here for half an hour. Let my station come and I'm just going to get out of it. That's one way of doing it. Second thing is that you feel, no, I'm going to fight it back. How dare he pushes me? I'm going to push back and I'm going to... Yeah, you can do that, but keep the big thing big and the small thing small. Imagine you're just busy pushing and you just pass the station where you were supposed to get down. You miss it. Then what's the point? Or imagine you simply tolerate and it comes to such a level that they actually push you out of the train. You know, you are out on the platform. That means there has to be a fine balance. There has to be a fine balance of which battle to be fought and which not to be fought. So one has to pick up what they want to do, right? Sometimes what the world sees externally may not be our report card. May not be our report card. See, sometimes like devotees may ask this question. Okay, we tolerate and we be patient in our materialistic life or materialistic dealing. But sometimes even when we are trying to do something for Krishna, right? We are trying to do some service for Krishna. But when there is no reciprocation or if we are not able to do what we want to do, we may get disappointed. How to keep patience at that time? But the whole point is, it's not always about trying to reach our target in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it is about ourselves touching the target. For example, let's say you have made a target that you're going to distribute 1,000 books on this marathon. And you are on your bookstall and you've been waiting from morning till night and nobody turned up and nobody took even one book. So now you may feel that you lost it. And externally the whole world will feel that you lost it. You couldn't achieve what you wanted to. But actually internally so many things happened. Because you could not sell, you became humble. Because you could not sell, you know, not even one person came to take the book. Maybe you read off whole of Bhagavad Gita sitting, nothing to do. Or maybe it made you more patient. So many other good qualities you developed in your heart just because you were not successful externally. So sometimes it's not that whatever we see externally is our report card. Sometimes Krishna wants to work in our inside. So it's a success. It's a success. So maybe the whole world may think we failed, but we actually passed. Like we see in Srimad Bhagavatam about how Indradyumna Maharaj, by the curse of Agatsya, he became Gajendra. We see Chitraketu Maharaj, by the curse of Parvati, he became Vritsasur. And we see in the case of Bharat Maharaj, because of his attachment to deer, he became a deer. So externally, the whole world may feel that they failed. From a human body, they came down to an animal body, a body of an elephant, a body of a deer, of a body of a demon. But in that body, they had consciousness which was higher than the human consciousness. So sometimes, maybe Krishna just wants to work on your inside. You know, it's not always about external success. So those who are devotees of the Lord, they understand this and they are patient. They know, they allow the Lord to have a free hand to do whatever treatment he wants to do. And they are patient. If we are not patient and if we don't have this understanding, then what is the difference between us and materialistic people? Like we very proudly, especially in our ISKCON devotees, you know, we are like, we use this lingo, they are karmis, they are karmi, we are bhaktas, you know. So, yeah, so they are karmis means they don't have this knowledge and they're not surrendered to the Lord and they don't understand that everything, you know, has a plan. And we are bhaktas, that means we have faith on the Lord, that means we have patience. If we have faith, then we have patience and we have tolerance. So this beautiful quality of Prahlad Maharaj Lord is attractive, patience and purity. We'll go to the next quality. Respect, respectful. Prahlad Maharaj was so respectful. even to one who is trying to kill him every single day, even though he had difference of opinion with Hiranyakashipu, but he was never at any point of time disrespectful. He was so respectful to his father. When we read those verses in Bhagavatam, na, he says, "My dear father," and he says, "You know, oh great, you know, greatest of all the demons, you know, Asuravarya, you know, the greatest demon." So beautifully he addressed his father with so much respect. This is one quality the Lord is attracted. Actually, the moment we become pure, let's say, you know, we just heard P for pure and then we become pure, you know, the second thing that follows is we start demoning everything that is impure and we start thinking ourselves to be very pure. That is one disadvantage. We immediately think, you know, and we start looking down about that which is impure. For example, today is Narasimha Chaturdasi. We are all fasting. Very nice. It's something very nice and auspicious. We are fasting. But if we start looking, you know, going to the Prasadam hall and start looking at those devotees who could not fast. Some devotees cannot fast. Some fast with juice, some fast with, you know, fruits and all. And if we start looking at them and we start thinking great about ourselves, sinful people could not control even one day of food. See how they are eating. Right? You know, could not control the belly. See how that guy is eating, how that devotee is eating. Then what we are basically doing is we are fasting our body but feasting our ego. Oh, we are so happy, you know. It's like, and we wait. And we wait if somebody come and ask us, "Prabhu, you'll take prasadam so that I can tell, 25 years I'm fasting, Prabhu. Narasimha Chaturdasi, I don't take even water. Last 25 years. I'm waiting. Somebody should ask me this question so that I can tell." So, we become disrespectful. But we see Prahlad, I mean, he's such a pure devotee of the Lord. And but he's, though he has difference of opinion with his father, though he has full knowledge where he can clearly understand that his father is a sinful person and is going against the will of the Lord, it's not that he accepts what his father says, but he's respectful. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamritam also, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he was so respectful. Even though Mayavadis, no, this one thing also in ISKCON, we talk very loosely about demigods, you know, as if they are some, they're not just some next door neighbor or, you know, somebody sitting next to us or standing next to us, Mangalarti, they're all exalted devotees. But we just talk about them as if, you know, oh, they're demigods. They're also great. They're helping the Lord in, you know, taking care of the whole affairs of the universe. And we speak very loosely about Mayavadis. We can have a difference of opinion, but we shouldn't be disrespectful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected Keshava Bharati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing there with his students in the bank of Ganges, and he was just giving some class, and then Keshava Bharati walks in and Lord is so respectful and he tells him that, "Do you like to speak something glorifying Ganga?" Immediately he gives him respect, you know, not that he just continues with his class and you sit down in my class and you hear. And then we also see with, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, though he was speaking Mayavad, Lord just listens to him for 7 days and then only Lord speaks. So we see that, and Prakashananda Saraswati, though he was a Mayavadi, but Lord was, when Lord went to meet him, Lord was sitting down where people wash their feet. And then they were asking Lord, no, you are a sannyasi, sannyasi Mahashaya, please sit on the high pedestal. He said, no, I'm fine here. So Lord was so humble and so respectful. So this one quality of the devotee, Lord likes very much when we are respectful. The problem with us is the moment we get a little better, we start looking down upon others. I like this example by Niranjan Maharaj. You know, one of his classes, he was saying that after a Sunday feast, when you take prasadam, and then you go and wash your hands, and after washing hands, there are many devotees who are standing in a queue to wash hands. So the moment you wash your hands, you start looking upon that person who is last in the queue. Na, he look at his hands so dirty. Okay, his hands are dirty. Your hands were also dirty. You just wash them. Okay, his hands are dirty, but he's in the queue. And just after some time, his hands are going to be washed. So that fault finding mentality, you know, we look at people and, you know, he's like that and he's like this. But okay, they're all in process and everybody's going to get cleaned and everybody's going to wash their hands. So this quality the Lord likes when we are respectful. So we did two. P for purity and patience, R for respectful. Coming to A. In fact, this quality Prabhupada had, and that's how he made so many people devotees. I'm just reminded of this past time, I think it is in Philadelphia, I'm not sure. There was one place where ISKCON had a center, and when Prabhupada visited that center, next day morning when Prabhupada was going for a walk, so Prabhupada just turned right and the devotees were like, Prabhupada, not right, turn left, we should not go that side, you know. And Prabhupada said, what happened? I said, no, there's this old lady, our next door neighbor, and she's not very cooperative. But Prabhupada doesn't listen and he just walks right in the lawn of that lady, and that lady is sitting in an easy chair and Prabhupada starts talking to her and very respectfully and very nicely. She's an old lady. And then Prabhupada has all that old man talks, you know, one of my teeth is now, you know, I had to remove this teeth, and how many teeth you have, and what is your granddaughter doing, and like that, you know. And Prabhupada is so nice to her, and at the end of it, Prabhupada says, so we have a program in the evening, do you like to come for the program? And she says, yeah, I'll come. And the devotees are surprised that we never had good relations with her, and see how Prabhupada did it. So, you know, he had this technique of, you know, it's being nice and being respectful to people. So A for affection. Prahlad Maharaj had this such beautiful quality. He was so affectionate, so compassionate. He wanted to preach to all those asura, demon children. You know, he wanted to give them Krishna consciousness, and he was not discriminating, or he was not having this, oh, they are all meat eaters, you know. This one thing we have to also teach from the very young age to our children also, to be respectful to everybody. I remember when my younger one, you know, I mean, of course I'm talking something which is 15 years back, maybe my younger son. Yeah, I think one of his teacher was he used to drink tea or coffee or something. Na? So very young he was at that time, maybe 4 years or something. And he says, Mommy, you know, they're coffee drinkers. They're coffee. And I was having a laugh as if drinking coffee. They're coffee drinkers. They drink coffee, you know. I mean, the way our children are in this, for them, everybody who takes tea or coffee or onion or garlic, oh my God, you know, sinful, you know. Then I had to tell him, yeah, you know, they drink and they take tea and coffee. Not everybody can, you know, follow this or something. I had to. So, so like that. So Prahlad Maharaj was not of that mentality, oh, they are all meat eaters. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to associate with them. He was so compassionate. He sat with them and spoke to them and hours together and taught them. And then he was dancing with them and he had so much compassion. No, somehow I have to bring them to Krishna consciousness. So this devotee has this nature of paradukhe dukhi. Oh, somebody is suffering, let me give. Like Prabhupada had this mood of Prahlad Maharaj. I mean, he could happily stay in Vrindavan, but he still left the cozy rooms of Radha Damodar temple and travel all the way to the US just to help everybody, help others to come into Krishna consciousness. So affectionate. That is one quality of a devotee. You see in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, Krishna says, Advaishta sarva bhutana maitra karuna evacha nirmama nirahankara sama dukha sukha shami santushta satatam yogi yatatmam dridhanischaya. So many beautiful qualities he says of a devotee. And out of that, one quality is maitra. A devotee means maitra. He is friendly to all. He is affectionate to all. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 11.55, Krishna says, Nirvaira, my devotee, Nirvaira Sarvabhutanam. My devotee is Nirvaira. He is friendly to all. He's not vairi. He's not inimical towards anybody. And he has affection for Sarvabhutanam. Everybody equally. Now, I remember this pastime of Sant Ekanath in Maharashtra. There is one very famous saint called Ekanath. He's a nice saint. Everybody knows him. One day he was making chapatis. So he's making chapati, taking out from the fire, putting down in the plate, just putting some ghee, is going on. Now, when his attention was, you know, drawn somewhere else, a dog comes and takes away one chapati and runs. Now Sant Ekanath, he runs behind the dog. He took the chapati, he has taken the chapati and is running behind the dog. Now everybody is surprised. Ekanath is very detached, just for one chapati, making such a big issue. So then one man called him and said, Maharaj, Sant Ekanath ji, why are you making such a big issue about it? After all, it's just one chapati. Let the dog take it. Then he says, no, you don't understand. That chapati does not have ghee. I'm running back with a spoon of ghee. I just want to put ghee. Otherwise, what will be the taste? You know, he will not enjoy it. I just want to put ghee. That's why I'm running behind him. And they got amazed. Oh my God. He just want, oh come on, okay, dog, forget about animosity. Why did he take my chapati? Oh, he won't able to relish it. There is no ghee in it. And that is the stage of the devotees of the Lord. They have the same affection for everybody. They want to help everybody. And they don't blame anybody. You know, for A, we can take it as an affection, or we can also take it as A, as they have no animosity on anybody. If you remember, in the Canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16th or 17th, I'm not sure, you know, this pastime of where the Kalipursha is beating the bull and the cow is crying, you know, and just, you know, beating mercilessly the bull. And then Parikshit Maharaj asks a question to the bull. And he says, what is the cause of your suffering? Now imagine if we are in the place of that bull and somebody asks you, no, imagine, you know, somebody is beating you and somebody asks you, what is the cause of your suffering? And you will say, are you crazy? What kind of question this is? Can't you see? He is beating me and I'm suffering. Simple. But what was the answer of the bull? He says, what is the cause of my suffering? It's a very difficult question to answer. The learned people say that we suffer because of our previous karma. Some people say we suffer because of the movement of stars. Some people say it is destiny. Some people say it is chance. It's very difficult to ascertain the cause of suffering. Then immediately Parikshit Maharaj says, bravo, bravo, what a beautiful answer you gave. Instead of pointing out, he didn't simply say, I am suffering because this guy is beating me. Those who are materialistic people, they will immediately point out finger on the nimitta, the immediate cause, what is disturbing us. They will just point out the finger. But then those who are devotees of the Lord, they read scriptures, so they won't do that. They know everything is the Lord's plan. See, it's not only about reading scriptures, it's also about application. Like for example, in our lives, all of our lives, in the Bhagavatam class on the Vyasasana, we will declare, all the problem in this world is because of lack of Krishna consciousness. You know, and the way we speak it with so much authority, as if we have complete faith on it. All the problem in this world is because of lack of Krishna consciousness. But the problem in my life is only because of that devotee. Are, if you are convinced about this, that means the problem in your life is also lack of Krishna consciousness. But you know, no. The whole world is suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. I am suffering because of this devotee. We are also suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. We are not able to see Krishna in the heart of that devotee. And if we see that whatever way that devotee is treating us is Krishna's way of putting through him, then we won't feel any animosity towards that devotee. But we are not able to do it. That means we are also suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. So devotees of the Lord, they don't have any animosity. They have affection for everybody. Because for them, any interaction with anybody is not based only on that person's action. It is based on the relationship with Krishna. I'll explain it. In India, you know, if you are from India, you can understand this very easily. In India, when the ladies, the Matajis, they go for sari shopping, it's something to see. They'll ask the salesman to take out 100 saris and then they'll say, oh, I don't think I like the color, I don't like the texture, I don't like this. And then they'll make him put it back and then another 100 and then another 100 and hardly taken a sari. But you know, the salesman, even on the 100th sari also, he'll give same smile and same courtesy. And then he'll say, that's all right, madam. Shall I show you some more? That's all right, madam. Shall I show you some more saris? So courteous. Now, actually, he's angry. from inside, you know, cursing this lady, doesn't, you know, morning, she's wasting my time, not even picking up one sari. But you know why he doesn't say anything? Because the whole point is he's looking at the owner who is sitting at the bill counter. And the only point he's thinking about is, I'm going to get my salary not from this customer. I'm going to get my salary at the end of the month by the owner. And I want to please the owner. So the devotee of the Lord thinks like that. He is not worried about other people's action or reaction towards him. His interaction with the devotees is based on his relation with the owner, that is Krishna. If I behave like this, Krishna is going to be pleased with me. If I tolerate, Krishna is going to be pleased with me. If I talk courteously, Krishna is going to be pleased with me. That's the whole point. They're thinking, how can I please Krishna? So their every interaction is based on that understanding, that will this please Krishna or not? And it's not, you know, simply based on that person's reaction or action. That's secondary for them. So that's why they have no animosity. So the devotees of the Lord are affectionate and they have no animosity. So we did P for purity, P for patience, R for respect, A for affection, A for no animosity. Now we'll go to the next one. H for humility. Oh, this beautiful, beautiful quality of humility is so attractive to the Lord. I was just reading the other day, there's one point in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know, when Narad Muni goes in search of a devotee who is the best devotee of the Lord. So in his search, he comes to Prahlad and he says, Prahlad, you are the best devotee. So Prahlad says, what makes you say I am the best devotee? So the Lord came for you. You are the best devotee. The Lord exclusively appeared just for you, just to protect you. So you are the best devotee. So Prahlad says, no, you have misunderstood. The Lord has not come for me. He said, really? The Lord came for what? He said, Lord came for Brahma. Because Brahma had promised Hiranyakashipu, right? He gave all these boons. So now to protect, you know, because now Brahma gave up such a boon. Now Lord has to keep up, you know, his word. So that's why Lord had to come in this, you know, form which doesn't break Brahma's rules, you know, whatever he had said, not die outside the house, inside the house, above, below, morning, evening, with weapons, no man should kill, no animal. So to keep up Brahma's word, he came in this form. Then he says, actually, he came for the Chatuskumaras. So really? So yeah, he wanted to keep the curse of Chatuskumara, right? He just wanted to show the power to the whole world that how Chatuskumaras, they're so powerful. Even the personal security of the Vaikuntha can be cursed, you know, that much power the Brahmanas, the devotees of the Lord have. And then Prahlad says, but actually he came for Jai Vijay. Because this Jai Vijay are the security of the Lord, and now he was missing them in separation, because now they came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So he's missing them a lot. That's why he came to see them, what they're doing, how they're doing. And he just wants to finish it up quickly so that they come back for his service. So he didn't come for me, he came for Jai Vijay. No, he didn't come for me, he came for Chatuskumar. No, he didn't come for me, he came for Brahma. Then he says, no, he came for you, Narad Muni. He came for you because he wanted to show the whole world that, see how my devotee Narad Muni is such a powerful preacher. Even a son of a demon he made into devotee, because he was preaching to Kayadu and Prahlad was in the womb, you know. So he said, just to glorify you. Then he says, well, actually the Lord came for himself. So really? Yeah, because Lord just wanted to show the whole world that, you know, when I say name bhakta pranashyati, you know, Arjun has said that, right? Name bhakta pranashyati. See, I protect my Lord. I protect my devotees. So for that he had come, just to prove that the statement is true. I protect my devotees. So Lord has not come for me. You see the humility of Prahlad Maharaj. So this is one quality of humility. How do we develop humility? Actually, the more we read scriptures and the more we know about the Lord, we actually become humble. I remember when we were young, you know, we went to see this Taj Mahal in Agra. Now, at those days where there were no cell phones and all, we used to have those professional photographers. And then they'll make you stand in a such a position and then you have to keep your two fingers like this. And they'll make a photo wherein you will see that the Taj Mahal is inside your two hands. And I still have that picture, you know, I was in class 7 or something. Just posing like this, and then they bring out the picture where Taj Mahal is just inside your two fingers. And we were so happy seeing that, you know, Polaroid camera, immediately the picture comes out. But then when we actually walked and, you know, went inside, and then I saw, oh my God, this is huge. It can't come inside my two fingers. So from a far off thing, you may see a mountain or something is so small. But the moment you get closer and closer, you understand how big it is. When we read more and more and more, and then we understand how insignificant we are, and then we naturally become humble. You know, in this regard, I'm just reminded of something connected to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Just the other day, I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj's appearance day, 75th year anniversary, they are celebrating. So yesterday some devotee wrote to me that please send a Vyasa Puja offering. And then I was just contemplating on different pastimes of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And then this one pastime I liked very much, where, you know, Prabhupada is telling, I think it's in Los Angeles, where Prabhupada is saying that 3/4 of this world is spiritual world, and only 1/4 is material world. Imagine how big this whole creation must be. And in that 1/4 material world, there are so many innumerable universes and galaxies, and there are innumerable solar systems and planets. And out of that innumerable planet, there is one planet called Earth. And in that one planet called Earth, there are so many continents. And in that one continent, there may be so many cities. And in that one city called Los Angeles, there may be so many streets. In that one street called La Boulevard, there is one old church building, which is now a Hare Krishna temple. And in that old building, in one room, this Tamal Krishna, who is sitting here, thinks himself to be very great. And then all were laughing, you know. So then when I was hearing this, I was just thinking, oh my God, how insignificant we are. And if we keep reading and regularly hearing, then it is reinforced in our mind that we are so insignificant, and that will keep us humble. That's why they said vidya vinaya, when somebody gets knowledge, then they actually understand what's their position, and that makes them humble. Right? Like they say, you know, the tree with lots of fruit will have, you know, branches which are, you know, which bend downwards because they have lots of fruit. It's quite heavy. We see pride, then we understand they have no knowledge. And we see humility, then we understand, okay, you know, because with humility, you know, the real picture, where we stand. Okay, so P-R-A-H and then L comes learning. Prahlad Maharaj was, you know, it was not only that, you know, he did some Bhakti Shastri course under Narad Muni and that was it. He got his certificate, but he actually applied it in his life, and that is so special. Like that is why you see Sanatan Goswami, he was praising Haridas Thakur. He said, Kehu kare achar na kare prachar, Kehu kare prachar na kare achar. Oh, some people, they talk, you know, so much philosophy, but they don't apply in their life. Some people apply in their life, but they don't know how to preach. But Haridas Thakur, you're not only preaching, you're applying it also in your life. That's why you can become Jagat Guru. You can become the teacher of the whole world. So, we see in the case of Prahlad, not only that he heard from Narad Muni, he actually did Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasam. He heard it, he remembered it, he applied it in his life, and he practically showed it. Even, see, you can imagine what must be his situation. Nobody is devotee there, he's only devotee, and his own guru Narad Muni, who taught him Krishna consciousness, is also bowing his head down to Hiranyakashipu. And the demigods are also bowing down to Hiranyakashipu. They are working in his kitchen. They are cleaning his rooms. They are taking care of his horses. And Indra is cutting vegetables in the kitchen of Hiranyakashipu. Now, such is the situation. But Prahlad continued. Whatever he had heard, he applied it. He had full faith on that teachings. So you know, sometimes we just take knowledge and we just you know, take in some knowledge. But it's not only about pooling, you know, pooling, just depositing more. It's about pulling ourselves up towards Krishna. The whole point that we hear, we do Shravanam, is not only pooling some good points. Okay, this nice class and I got a lot of points for my next class, and that doesn't make, it's more about pulling ourselves. How much, it, you know, I can apply in my life, and I can just pull up towards Krishna. So he was not wavered. No matter what situation, you know, sometimes I feel that this coronavirus situation, this whole pandemic is one situation where we have got a lab actually to practically test ourselves, you know, like whatever we've been reading in Bhagavatam, you know, have faith on Krishna and all. And in a favorable situation, everybody can be favorable. But in this kind of unfavorable situation, how much Krishna consciousness can we continue and how we can take shelter of Krishna and how much faith we have in Krishna? This is a testing time, and, you know, this is like a practical lab test. You know, you just read something in chemistry, but you actually mix the hydrochloride and sulfuric acid and then you see some yellow pigment. You actually do something practical. This is some situation we have in our life when we can practically see how much faith we have in Lord, you know, this whole situation. So Prahlad had this faith, right? Mare Krishna rakhe ke. Of course, by that I don't mean that one should stop wearing mask and, you know, we have to do our, I remember this, my younger sister, you know, we had gone to an ISKCON Sunday school or summer camp, and they taught us this bhajan, you know, it's one of my favorite. Mare Krishna rakhe ke. Rakhe Krishna mare ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. Mare Krishna rakhe ke. Oh my God. And that had become instantly our favorite. And my sister used to try to take undue advantage of that. So when we used to go to school, now we had to cross the road. Now she'll not look this side, she'll not look that side, she'll simply walk. And I, as an elder sister, I have to hold her. And I told my mother one day, I'm not going to take her to school anymore. You know, she just, and if I tell her something, she says, Mare Krishna rakhe ke. And I said, this is crazy. Then my mother gave her a talk. Look, yeah, Krishna will protect you, but you also have to look this side and that side before you cross your road. So yeah, as devotees, we have full faith on Krishna. That doesn't mean that we don't do what we ought to do. But yeah, this is one time where we can apply the teachings, you know, and we can see how much we are able to keep our faith and surrender to the Lord. You know, this situation, one of my favorite, I don't know how many Gujaratis are there in Montreal temple, but one of my Gujarati favorite bhajan in this situation is... चित तो सिधनी चिंता करे कृष्ण ए करवो होए ते करे. Oh come on, don't worry so much. Krishna is going to do what he has to do. He knows how to protect his devotee. Why are you worried so much? You know, a devotee is telling the mind, चित तो सिधनी चिंता करे. Oh, Krishna will take care, you know. Okay, so we did P-R-A-H, okay, L-A. We coming to the last section. A for attraction. You know, some people actually spoke to Prahlad. Why are you putting yourself into problem, you know, fighting with your father? Why can't you stop this Krishna consciousness, this Vishnu conscious business? And Prahlad says, well, I'm not doing something artificially. I'm naturally attracted to Krishna. So what should I do? I'm naturally attracted to Vishnu. See, we are also attracted to the Lord, but our attraction is sometimes cultural attraction, social attraction, traditional attraction. It may not necessarily be spiritual attraction. One is cultural attraction. Actually, everybody's been doing it, so you do it. It's a culture. We all go to the temple, or tradition. My father did it, my grandfather did it, so I'm doing it. Or social. You like the people out there in the temple, and it's nice, they're cool people. Okay, or maybe sometimes, you know, it's just emotional. Like sometimes you see some Bollywood movie, you know, the hero is being beaten by the villain, and the hero and the heroine are separated, and you also start crying, you know. And when you see the gopi geet and the Krishna and the, you know, gopis are separated, then also you cry. So it's like you're just emotional. But what actually is required is spiritual attraction, not cultural, not emotional, not social, not traditional. But Prahlad Maharaj had a spiritual attraction towards Krishna. It was not cultural. Nobody in their family was a devotee. It's not that it was a tradition to worship Vishnu, but he had a spiritual attraction for Krishna. So spiritual attraction for Krishna means you reorganize or you realign your life. See, how do I know that my attraction has progressed? Initially, I had cultural attraction or social attraction to Krishna or emotional, but now over the period of time, reading Bhagavatam, chanting, associating with devotees, now my attraction has become an actual spiritual attraction. How will I know? The only thing is your life different from what you were before? You know, have you rejected that which is not Krishna conscious and you have realigned your life, you know, towards Krishna, then yes, this is spiritual attraction. So it's not only about feeling emotionally attached to Krishna, it's about redirecting our life in the way that will please Guru and Krishna. Then that is actually Krishna consciousness, right? If I still continue my old ways, then I say, but I love Krishna. But then do you chant? No, I don't. But do you follow the four rules and regulations? No, I don't. Do you read Bhagavatam? No, I don't. Okay, do you come for morning programs? No, I don't. But I love Krishna. So that doesn't make sense. That means the actual spiritual attraction for Krishna is where you're ready to give up your old ways and then you're ready to, you know, redirect your life in a way that pleases Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj had a attraction for Krishna, pure attraction for Krishna. So how do we also get that attraction for Krishna is we redirect our life, engage our senses in serving Krishna. See, one thing is, instead of controlling our senses, we dovetail them in service of Krishna, which is an easier process. Today, if I have an empty glass and I try my best and make sure that no air enters inside this glass, I can work hard for some time, but eventually if I make some movement, some air will enter the empty glass. But if I fill it up with water, then there is no space for air. So instead of, you know, just trying to control the senses here and there, we fill it up with service and devotional service and engage our senses in Krishna's service, and then slowly our attraction for Krishna develops. And then another proof, how do we know that we are progressing? Then we can refer to the sloka from Bhagavatam 11.2.42, Paraisha Anubhava. There's some kind of a experience of Krishna, and there is virakti, there is detachment. Your material desires decrease and your attraction for Krishna increases. So you experience Krishna. On the initial stage, we may not directly experience Krishna, but then we understand there is some kind of a feeling. I remember when my children were young, you know, my younger one, and I have two sons, and especially during summer, you know, they'll keep the air condition so high, you know, 18 or 20. What I do in the middle of the night, now I'll go and put a blanket on them because it's so, and I'll just switch off the AC or something. When I put the blanket on my younger son, he'll hardly realize, but he'll take the blanket and he'll feel happy and sleep. If I put it on my elder son, even though he doesn't open his eyes, he'll say, thank you, mama. That's it. And if I put it on my husband, the blanket, he'll immediately open his eyes and he'll understand who is this. Well, there are three different stages. Maybe in the initial stage, we enjoy Krishna's warmth, we enjoy Krishna's, but we don't know it is Krishna who is doing it. And then after some time, maybe we understand it is, you know, Krishna doing it, we acknowledge, but we can't have a direct experience. And after some time, yeah, there is a direct experience where you can actually see Krishna doing things for you. He's actually doing it, right? So like that, as one progresses in the spiritual this, then they have that Paraisha Anubhava. So Prahlad Maharaj had this attraction towards Krishna. And if we also want to develop that attraction towards Krishna, we have to, you know, slowly read scriptures. And you know, just like if we exercise our muscles grow, if we keep continuously reading scriptures and all, then our attraction towards Krishna grows. Also, one way is when we see everything in this world in connection with Krishna, then this world is no more a distractor. It becomes a pointer towards Krishna. Sometime back, somebody has asked my Guru Maharaj this question, you know, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Said, Guru Maharaj, how to maintain a fine balance between material life and spiritual life? And then Guru Maharaj said, there are no two lives, there is only one life. And that life you have to spiritualize. So he said, everything that you do, if you remember Krishna, then that becomes spiritual. So raising your children is also spiritual. Going for a job is also spiritual. Cooking is spiritual. Everything is spiritual if you just add Krishna to it. So I'm just reminded of this verse from Bhagavad Gita 10.41. All that is attractive in this world is a spark of the all attractive Krishna. And if we are, you know, thinking in that mindset, then we are Krishna conscious. We are thinking about Krishna all the time. And then slowly our attraction for Krishna keeps increasing. And then this world is no more a distractor, but it becomes a pointer towards Krishna. With this, we come to the last thing, Prahlad, P-R-A-H-L-A-D, determination. The Lord was so very impressed and attracted by the determination of Prahlad. no matter what kind of situation that he has been put in, where nobody is devoting. Imagine even if we have to go to some country where nobody is a devotee, it will be so difficult, but at least still, you know, of course, nowadays ISKCON devotees are everywhere and there are bhakti vrikshas and bhakti kutirs. But imagine you are in a country where there is no devotee, you still have a hope that after some time I'll come back to India, I'll go to Vrindavan, I'll go to Mayapur. But Prahlad was in such a situation, no devotee and no hope in future. But he still kept the determination and, you know, something like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Sikshashtakam, Ashlishya va padaratam pinastuma madarshinam marmahatam karotu va yatha tatha va vidhati lampato. No matter Lord responds, doesn't respond, he'll come, he'll not come, he'll not protect, but I won't deter from my Krishna consciousness. And we see that, you know, when Prahlad was thrown from the high cliff or mountain, it's not that Lord was immediately there to protect. Lord is standing somewhere down. And imagine what must be happening to Prahlad when he's just falling, you know. He's still not clinging anywhere. He's just falling with full faith. And then at the last moment when he's just about to hit the ground, at that time the Lord's hand is there, you know. So imagine what kind of determination, you know, he has. So Lord is impressed by that determination. We also have determination, but our determination is misdirected. Like for example, a drunkard requires a determination. Imagine, you know, even though he's losing his job, there is financial problems, his family is suffering, his health is going down, but he still continues to drink. That's a determination. So everybody has a determination, but our determination is misdirected. Like the other day, somebody was saying, I don't have any determination, you know. I do something and after 2 days, I stop it. Then I do something new. Then again, I stop it. Then I do something, I stop it. I have no determination. And I was just saying that you have determination. You have determination of doing new things all the time. There is determination in everything in our life. Only thing is we need to direct it in the right direction. And Prahlad had this determination to continue Krishna consciousness, no matter what situation that he was. I don't know if you have seen any time Bollywood movies. You know, in my college days, we used to watch these Bollywood movies, and especially those certain scenes are so repeated, where the hero will be falling down, you know, from the cliff, and he will be holding with his hands, two hands, and he's somehow hanging, and then the villain, he'll come and stamp his hands, so that with that pain, he should somehow leave and he should fall. But he will not. He will just bear the pain and somehow he will come up and protect the heroine. I was just thinking that all of our lives are like that. We have so much determination to hold on to this material world. And this material world villain, you know, this Adidevik, Adhyatmik, Adibautik, these miseries are stamping and again giving us so much trouble. But we're still so determined. No, it's all right. I want to take birth again and I want to go on continuing in this material world. I won't give up. So much determination we have. That means we have determination. None of us are tired that, oh my God, my soul has traveled through so many species. Enough is enough. Now this life I want to be serious. So much determination we have to continue in this world, you know. And no matter how much slap the material world is giving us every single day. So that means determination is there. It's just that we need to redirect it in the proper way. So how do we develop determination? Associate with devotees who have determination and in Krishna consciousness, and our determination also grows. So we heard so many qualities. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj has unlimited qualities. In whatever given time, we could just take up a few which we can try and apply in our life. So with this, on this very auspicious day of Narasimha Chaturdasi, I pray heartfully to Lord Nrisimhadev, just like he, you know, he did a surgery for Hiranyakashipu. He does a surgery for our hearts. And all these asuric anarthas and all mentalities, you know, get killed. And we get blessed with these qualities, you know, even a fraction or 0.0.0% of the qualities that Prahlad Maharaj has, and that we can use it in our spiritual life and render devotional service in the way that pleases Guru and Krishna. And with this, I end it here. Thank you so much. Nrisimhadev Bhagavan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Maybe take one or two. There's people who are there already. It's okay?
Yeah, okay, bro.
Thank you.
Okay, so there are two questions here. One thing is that you asked if the Lord appeared in Ahovilam, or you have heard that he appeared in Pakistan. So there are two answers for this. One is what I heard. I think it was Jayadvaita Maharaj. I don't know if the senior devotees in this forum can correct me. I think they wanted to publish an article in Back to God at magazine, and when they went and asked Prabhupada, did he appear in Ahovilam, or did he appear there? There is some controversy, and then Prabhupada said that, you know, why do you want to restrict him to one place? You know, Lord can appear wherever he wants to. So I'm just paraphrasing it, but this is what he said in some way. And of course, we are singing Ito Narsingha, Parato Narsingha, Yato Yato Yani Tato Narsingha. Lord Narsingha can appear anywhere. Again, having said that, the second part of the answer is that there's so many times Narsingadeva appeared. It's not just one time, in so many kalpas, in so many different time he's. So there may be different kathas. Maybe this kalpa he's here now, in Ahovilam he appeared. Maybe some other time he appeared in somewhere else also. So we can't say that, you know. Like for example, many years back I was hearing this pastime of how, you know, Prahlad, whom we spoke about today, you know, he was a young man who was a businessman in his previous life, and then how he had taken shelter of a mandapam in a forest, you know, a place, a abandoned Vishnu temple, one night on his business trip. But that place was unclean, so he cleaned it up, and then he took rest. And because he had cleaned up a Vishnu temple, and that day happened to be a Narsimha Chaturdasi, that's why in the next life he happened to become Prahlad. Now people may ask question that when Prahlad has not become Prahlad here yet, how Narsimha Chaturdasi happened? So the whole point is, every time a different person becomes Prahlad, every time, you know, Narsingadev comes. And also these yugas, you know, they are cyclic. So sometimes in Satyuga also people worship Krishna. So maybe in, you know, in Dwapar Yuga also they may worship Narsingadev. So it sometimes it goes, you know, it's not always Satyug, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. Sometimes it's the other way around also. So there are so many different stories. Sometimes in some Kalpa Narsingadev appears like this. Sometimes in some Kalpa Narsingadev appears in a different form like that. Like coming to your second question, which is a follow-up. Like here, Narsingadev here is completely different. In Vishakhapatnam, he is a Varaha Lakshmi Narsimhadev. So he is a combination of Varaha Rupam also. And then I have heard in Orissa there is Bidal Narsimha. It's not a lion, a cat, you know, Narsimha with a cat and human body. So like that, there are so many forms of, like in Ahovilam, when you go there, we had a good fortune of going to Ahovilam just a couple of months ago. In January end, we were there. They have Nava Narsimhas, Bhargava Narsimha, Shanta Narsimha, Chhatra Narsimha, oh, so many, and with so many beautiful pastimes. Now coming to the pastime of our Narsimhadev here in Vishakhapatnam, and as you rightly said, we are very, very fortunate to stay in this dham, Vishakhapatnam dham. This is a very beautiful pastime. How Prahlad Maharaj, after giving his kingdom to his son Virochan, he retired. And here he was worshipping Narsingadev. So one day he very fondly asks Narsingadev. He says, I have seen how you killed my father. I saw your form. But I have not seen that form with which you killed my uncle Hiranyaksha. I want to see that form also, my Lord. So then Lord showed him a combined form of Varaha, who killed Hiranyaksha, and Narsimha. So he has a face of Varaha, and he has a half body of man, torso, and then he has a tail of a lion. So like that, you know, he's Varaha Lakshmi Narsimha Swami. And after Prahlad Maharaj was worshipping for many years, at the fag end of his life, a plane came and he left to Vaikuntha. So over the period of time, these deities were buried inside the earth and nobody was taking care. So after some time, when Maharaj Pururava, about whom we hear in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he was traveling with Urvashi in his airplane. And right here in Vishakhapatnam, this hill, the airplane stopped. It was not moving. Then they could not understand what is happening. So then they landed. So when they landed, they were just roaming around. They could not figure out what's happening. There was a nice waterfall called Akashaganga, and they took bath in that. And they slept there for the night. In the night, the Lord came in the dream of Urvashi and said, I am here, you know, inside the bushes of jasmine flowers, and you know, please take me out, I'm burning. Then next day morning, they dig up and they take out Narasimhadev. And the moment they, it is just this much, very sweet little, this much a deity, you know. The moment they take the deity in hand, there is a celestial voice says, cover up, cover up, cover up the deity with sandalwood. The deity is burning because for many years it has been under the ground. So immediately they cover it up with sandal. So even today, if you take darshan in Vishakhapatnam of Narasimhadev, you can't see him. The only thing you can see is a lump of sandalwood. That's it. It looks more like a Shivalinga. But only once in a year, on the day of Akshay Tritiya, they will remove the whole sandal. Then you can see this beautiful Varaha Lakshmi Narasimhadev. And that also for a few hours. Again by evening, they'll start putting the sandal back. And again next day, you see again there's a something looking like a Shivalinga. So this is very, very special. Only on Akshay Tritiya, they do Sahasra Ghata Abhishek. With 1,000 kalash, they bath the deity. And then, you know, lakhs and lakhs of people come for this darshan. So if you ever happen to come to Vishakhapatnam on Akshay Tritiya day, you have to come one day before. And, you know, people stand in queues, you know, before day, night. And then next day morning, they get darshan. So, Srila Prabhupada had come to Simhachalam and he had taken darshan of Narasimhadev, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had come here in December 1930. Srila Prabhupada came in February 1972 and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here. And this famous song that we sing na, in our darshanarthi, Jai Narasimha, Shri Narasimha, Jai Jai Narasimha. This was sung by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time when he entered the sanctum sanctorium in Simhachalam. And when he looked at the deity spontaneously, he recited this. So it's a very, very special place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu footprints are also kept here as a memory that he has visited this. And Madhavacharya came here, and all the different acharyas and all the alvars, they also had come. And it's one of the Divya Desham, one of the important 108 places which a Vaishnava is supposed to visit in his lifetime, you know, take darshan. Because I can go on and on, but that's a shorter history of Simhachalam. I hope it you like the answer. I'll just repeat the question if I heard it properly. You said in the current scenario, the mind is so much of in stress. How do you bring it under control? That is the question. How do you bring it under control? I just said that we have to just redirect the mind in a service of Krishna. Yes, there is so much stress. Everybody is going through stress. But we don't have any control towards the outside situation. The only thing that we can change is something inside us. Like what they are saying, that corona is airborne. That's what they say here, you know. That's a rumor or a gossip, I don't know. And they said that everybody will get it, but the only person who has immunity will be saved, you know. So the same thing is, you know, stress is airborne, or the stress is, or Maya is airborne. Stress is airborne. Material world, the stress is airborne. There is stress everywhere. And never been, you know, even if this corona pandemic passes away, we can never be sure that there will be no other pandemic. And I'm not trying to be negative, but that's a fact of life. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. Krishna says that this is how this material world is. So there's always going to be some stress. Now I'm just reminded of this pastime of Srila Prabhupada. I think it was 1971 in Delhi, and Srila Prabhupada was giving an interview to some press reporter, and at that time there was blackout and Pakistan was bombing India. And this press reporter was panicking, you know, oh Swamiji, somebody should stop Yahya Khan, what is he doing, he should stop bombing, you know. So then Prabhupada was simply very coolly chanting Hare Krishna, and then Prabhupada said, why are you flattering Yahya Khan, why don't you flatter Krishna? And this press reporter could not understand, and Prabhupada repeated, why are you flattering Yahya Khan, do you think if Yahya Khan stops bombing, you won't die? You know, that means Prabhupada meant to say that, okay, you may die with bomb. Even if it stops bombing also, you may die. So it's like this. This whole world is dukkalayam ashashvatam. Even if corona situation passes away, there will be some other situation. We know from the scriptures, it's adidevik, adhyatmik, adibhautik. Either some living things will give us, either our body, either the nature, some or the other trouble is always going to happen. That means the whole point is increase our immunity, inner immunity, right? What is the formula of stress? What formula of stress is our inner strength upon outer factors. So outer factors, the denominator is constant. You can't do anything about it. That it is not under your control. But at least you can change the numerator. So if we increase our inner strength, our inner immunity, then stress will become zero, or at least stress will become less. That's it. So just increasing your inner immunity. Increasing inner immunity means making yourself prepare for all situations, and that will happen if we constantly take shelter of the scriptures. When we read the scriptures, see, scriptures, they give us so much relief, I should say. No, I'm just reminded of this, when Yudhishthir Maharaj and Pandavas, they were in exile, you know, they were meeting different sages, and they were hearing scriptures, you know. So at one point of time, Yudhishthir Maharaj was very sad because Jayadrath had tried to kidnap Draupadi, and somehow they had, you know, they got Draupadi back from Jayadrath. So he was in all anxiety. So at that time, you know, I think it was, I'm forgetting the name, Matanga Rishi or somebody. I just hope I got the name right. I'm forgetting, not Matanga, the Rishi who was having a, you know, lifespan of 7 kalpa. I'm forgetting his name. You know, who had a boon, you know, that he will live for 7 kalpas or something. So they were having a discussion, and he was reading the Ramayan. So there, you know, this pastime comes where Sita is being kidnapped by Ravan. So then Yudhishthir is being consoled by this, Muni, and he tells him, look, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead's wife is also kidnapped. So why are you so much worried if your wife was kidnapped, you know? He's just counseling Yudhishthir Maharaj. And I found it very interesting. So something like that, you know, when we read scriptures, we understand everybody is put into difficulty. Everybody, even one who is the father and mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even Devaki and Vasudeva were also put into difficulty. They were also crying. They also faced, even Pandavas, who are the best devotees of the Lord, they were also put in difficulties. You see, devotees like Tukaram was also put in difficulty. You see, Narsim Mehta from Gujarat, he was in difficulty. Mirabai was in difficulty. Jaidev Goswami, he was in difficulty. You know, you just name it, you know. And Ramanujacharya, they were trying to poison him. You know, Madhavacharya, they were trying to kill him. Well, every devotee, everybody was, you know, put into difficulty. Whether devotee, non-devotee, everybody who is there in this material world will be put into difficulty. So why do we think you and me won't be put into difficulty? Who are we, you know? Everybody will be put into difficulty. So when we read scriptures and we take shelter of scriptures, you know, we understand and we associate with devotees. And part should do the part. We should do our part and leave the rest to the Lord. Actually, I gave a very interesting lecture on this topic. I think it is tips to overcome anxiety. Is it not? And I also gave another class on tips to overcome fear. Especially gave it because, you know, this pandemic situation. So if you like, you may just go through these two classes where I gave so many tips, the reason for fear, the reason for stress and anxiety, and then what we can do, you know, a step-by-step process to manage it. We may not be able to eradicate it completely, but how do we manage it in a proportion which doesn't hamper our health and our spiritual, physical and spiritual mental health? It will be helpful if you can go through that class. Yeah. Okay, shall we end it here?
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna, Krishna.